Time is 8:06. Much different start this morning than we saw yesterday. Right now, overcast skies, breezy conditions, temperature of 8 degrees above zero with a wind chill factor of 12 below at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. I will see. I will explain in a moment. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It reminds me of an episode of one of my all-time favorite television programs, WKRP in Cincinnati. There was a episode where the station went off the air, and Les Nessman went on the air to announce they were off the air. And they were saying, "What, Les, why are you doing this?" Well, I will say that right now, 1230 frequency on the AM dial is off the air. We are aware of it. So if you're tuned in right now to 1230 AM, we're off the air. tune over to 98.9 FM, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, and we will have the issue fixed very, very soon. All right, we got that out of the way. Quickly, coming up in the second hour of the program, I will be joined by Sean Wright, the Executive Director of the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, talk about what's been going on at the Grand, what is coming up at the Grand. We talked to Sean every other Wednesday. Also, every other Wednesday, we spend the first hour talking about what's going on in the news and sports and everything else with Bob Look. But very happy to welcome Bob off the injured list. We're not with us 2 weeks ago. Had an eye procedure.
Cataract,
and everything seems to have worked out pretty well.
Beautiful, beautiful, clear. Everything is wonderful. I keep picturing that person tuned into 12:30 a.m. right now.
Pounding on the radio.
Well, why don't you use your FM?
I don't like that FM stuff. That's just not my style. Yeah.
Well, and there are people that are traditionalists who, because 12:30's been on for decade after decade after decade, and of course 98.9 we just put on a few years ago. But unfortunately, doggone it, you know, it's the worst thing. You wake up in the morning and you've been through this, where you know one of the responsibilities is make sure everything is still on the air. Yeah. And then it's like, oh boy. So instead of coming here, I went to the old place and tried to figure out what was going on. And by the time it's like, oh, I got to get back over. I'll come back at 10, talk to the folks down in our engineering department in Madison. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I wonder how we stay on the air at all.
Yeah, people think that it's like the on and off button, turning the lights on in the living room or something. No,
basically, how do the lights go on and off? Sometimes it blows the mind.
Yes, suddenly there's a power outage. Boom, you're dead in the water. And you know, some radio stations have generators.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, like in the winter time, where you have some big time things, and of course, radio stations, if you know severe weather is coming, and if the power is knocked out, the people who are tuned in would still like to be able to, what's coming our way? What's the tornado situation and that? So, I've been in stations where we had. Generators that automatically would kick into gear as soon as there would be a power outage. Unfortunately, I remember the one place I worked at where we had that set up, that they had the generator set up, and it was great. All of a sudden we had power go dead and it kicked right into gear. However, they never thought about venting the generator, which was indoors. And after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so, myself and my co-workers are all starting to, carbon monoxide poisoning. Maybe you should have put it that or vented there, that room, not just kept it under the, you know, they, again, sometimes you don't think right. So.
I know over the course of your broadcast career, you've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of very interesting and famous people. And I wanted to start today because yesterday came the news that Cherry Starr died. Yeah. And I've said this before, often you'll hear the statement, there will never be another. And I think when it comes to both Bart Starr and Cherry Starr, there will never, ever be others that are like them. Because I truly think that Bart Starr will never be touched in the legacy, no matter how long the Green Bay Packers go into existence, in terms of what he was able to accomplish, both as a player, as a coach and GM. While it wasn't a success, but he was still a very proud representative.
He did it because he felt he had to do that.
Yes, he did. He knew he wasn't ready,
but he knew the fans were demanding that they bring him, you know, have him, and he did it because of his love for the team and the loyalty to it.
But also in terms of the man he is, but he found a woman that was right at that level in terms of what she accomplished in her life. And Cherry Starr, if you had not heard, yesterday it was announced that she had passed away at the age of 89. Did you ever have an opportunity to cross paths?
I met Cherry and Bart, you know, before, but the last meeting was so memorable because about 2014, I think it was. It was just a mere few months prior to that stroke that Bart Starr suffered that really kind of slowed him down a lot and that. But we arranged for, and on the station I was working at, we were going to do an interview with Bart. So they gave me a phone number to call at such time. And so I'm thinking it's like, you know, an office or maybe some, you know, secretary has a, it rings, you know.
Personal assistant.
Two rings and all of a sudden, hello. Right. And I says, hi. And at first, we just said hello. I was kind of like, wrong number. Yeah. He says, oh, hi. My name is, you know, Bob Look, and I'm here to talk to Bart Starr. And she goes, oh, you must be Bob. And I go, yes. He says, oh, well, I'm Cherry. Well, hi, Cherry. Small talked for like about over 10 minutes. Just she's, how's the weather back there in Wisconsin? It was a nice day today. It was, you know, and she was the nicest lady. Oh, I better get you through to Bart here. Hey, Bart. And she's yelling. That's the intercom. Bart, Bob's on. And Bart Starr answers, oh, hello, Bob. And I says, oh, hi, Mr. Starr. And first thing he goes, oh, well, it's nice hearing your voice, but please don't call me Mr. Starr. Call me Bart. And I says, Mr. Starr, I have to argue with your thinking. I was a boy, you know, and I looked up to you, and my idol blithering out on there. And he says, okay, all right. But please, during the interview, you just call me Bart. I don't want people to think that I'm an old man. And he laughed. But what a wonderful... And the things that they did, the ranch, which is an organization helping troubled youngsters, you know, trying to find the right way. I mean, they didn't go looking at being a part of the community as well. I'm just playing football for the team that just happens to be here, and I'll put my time in. If there was some legitimate organization that was looking for help and assistance, and they went to both Bart and Cherry, the first words out of their mouth after they hear what their group was trying to accomplish, what can we do to help?
Mm-hmm.
That was their life. And I, just two gems of people that, you know, I'm glad they're together again. That's all I have to say.
Sort of a connected. Back on December the 26th, Tommy Smothers died. And I'm a big Smothers Brothers fan.
Too.
And over the last couple of months, a guy on a YouTube channel had been putting out original episodes of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. But it was the originals with the actual commercial that ran.
Yeah.
And this was the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And there was a commercial with Bart Starr on it, which is like, holy cow. It was for a shaving cream. And it was kind of a little bit of a racy commercial. It showed Bart, he was shaving. And then they had this sort of model who had this foreign accent saying, well, if Bart Starr can use whatever this is, You can, and he's such a good first baseman. And then Bart has this look on his face. Yeah. But it was such a, it was kind of a, and I had never seen anything like that. It was like in the midst, right after they'd won the three in a row in the late 60s. And it was just, I thought it was, he kind of played off his image. And it was, I thought, a very cool commercial. And also something that came out yesterday when the announcement came, Bart Starr Jr. said, and he put it in the obituary, and see, it said that Cherry, you know, when she liked to travel, when she loved to travel, she didn't want to go to Hawaii or Alaska. Her favorite place to travel to was Green Bay. Yeah. And it was just, you know, right to the end. And she had battled cancer. She never even said anything again. Well, it's like, again, that's the strength of this woman.
They took especially, care of their own business.
And as, you know, as someone in her 80s and what she did for Bart late in his life. I mean, she did everything to try to find.
She was full-time healthcare.
But she was an incredibly. And I read a book by Jerry Kramer, not the instant replay, but he had a distant replay.
Distant replay, yeah. It was
and, he talked about in that book that one thing that Cherry started when Bart was coach of the Packers. She was somebody that he would. He would say, okay, here's a play. What do you think? That she had a mind that actually was very, I mean, he looked at her as his partner in everything. It was not a case of where if he went to the office, he was going to close it down. They were partners in absolutely everything.
Think of their age when they were suddenly replanted from the South, from the Alabama area, and okay, got drafted by the Green Bay Packers. First question was probably, where is Green Bay? And then they found out, and it's like, hey, what? And then they start rolling into, well, everything's fine pretty much for September and October. Well, here comes November, December, and onward. And they just took to the area, became a part of the community. I lose the verbiage to really say how what I feel about. I just had so much affection for them,
and that's the thing. I'm so happy that even though I wasn't here to see him play, even when he was coach, when they struggled, this state still loved that man. I mean, nowadays you wouldn't have that with losing records, but they don't. In a sense, they cared, but it was still Bart Starr, and everybody saw that who Bart Starr was, and that we were still very proud to have a man like that lead that organization.
He's a leader.
And I hope that as we get older and, you know, pass to the next coil, that people still remember Bart Starr for hundreds and hundreds of years.
And
in
what
this
a
area.
Hollywood name, too.
I know.
And it's the real deal. You know?
Exactly. The time is 8:18. Again, a very chilly start here in central Wisconsin. We're going to find out about the weather. It's going to warm up again rather quickly. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot coming up in just over a minute here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, a very chilly start here on this Wednesday, 8 degrees above zero at the Wausau Downtown Airport, wind chill factor of 12 below zero, and quite a difference from 24 hours ago, but hey, if anybody complains it's too cold, I'm going to, you know, wave my finger. We one day here, we have a cold day, but to find out how long this is going to stick around, what we can expect as we get towards the weekend, we're joined again by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. What a weather 180, and it lands on a Wednesday, too.
I mean, the thing about it, and again, we've talked about so many different areas where it's like, we haven't seen this before. And I know, I'm sure we've seen it before, but I tell you, to have a switch of, what, 50, almost 60 degrees in temperatures, I mean, it could be like 60 degrees. I can't recall this. I mean, I don't know if you weather folks have any kind of records on that, but you talk about just an incredible change. I mean, what did we get to yesterday, by the way? Do you know what our high temperature was here in Wausau yesterday?
I sure do. We hit 68 degrees.
68 degrees. So it's 60 degrees exactly. Difference.
Yeah, I had my patio, you know, window open. Every window in the house was open. I was in short sleeves yesterday, and now the puffy coat is out.
Well, before we talk specifically, I was listening to you on Kreitlow's show earlier, and Kreitlow asked about the winds and lunchtime, and I don't know how you handled that. That was like the weirdest point, and it's like I imagine that almost blew your mind.
I feel, you know, I knew it worked then because he wasn't listening fully is what I'm getting from that. And he was like, winds and lunch, winds and lunch. Well, I like to use lunchtime because if you say 11 or noon, that doesn't stick in your head as much. So I like to use little catchy words so you remember, and it worked. So I guess he proved my point.
Real quickly before we look ahead, what did lead to this big change between yesterday and then by the time we got into the late evening, you could feel that chill very significantly. And now here this morning with the single digit temperatures and wind chills below zero, what led to the big change from yesterday to today?
Yes, absolutely. So we had a low pressure system off to the west that really surged in the strong winds and all the warmth and humidity. And at one point, over just 300 miles, International Falls in Minnesota was at 6 degrees, and in Phillips, Wisconsin, they were at 62 degrees. So such a huge temperature difference. I think it's like 55 degree difference over just 300 miles. That was the extremely warm air mass that we were sitting in, squished up against the extremely cold air mass that now we're sitting in today. So the big temperatures extremes really caused some severe weather into northern Illinois yesterday. There were tornado touchdowns, damage reported. Some of those storms pushed into the southern parts of our state, but we didn't see anything bigger than quarter-size hail with those. But strong snow squall line off behind it, smacking our northern states, and then that moved in here for us last night and put down about an inch or two for a lot, yeah. A little bit more up towards Lake Superior. I know Hurley is reporting like 5 inches, which they usually have like 150 at this point, but you know, they'll take anything, I suppose. But yeah, just the two big air masses really fighting with each other is what happened. But you put climate change on top of El Nino, on top of the warmest February that we've ever had. In fact, yesterday not only broke daily highs for Wausau, but it's also the warmest temperature that we've ever had for February at 68.
Yeah, so broke the daily temperature by 12 degrees. That is that's a blowout if you use sports terminology. And by the way, we got to say that Rob in Tigerton is tuned in again, and he says it's 11 degrees after a high of 69 yesterday and got 2.7 inches of snow. And of course, the roads are slippery. But the thing about it is, this is only a brief blip, correct?
Correct. And the roads are only slippery right now in towards Tigerton, Shawano, and Marinette, so more northeast Wisconsin. We're fine here. I know the winds are blowing some of that snow around a little bit, but we're not very slick and slippery. So don't worry too much here into the Wausau area. But the temperature difference, I mean, we were feeling 68 degrees yesterday afternoon, and what we're feeling right now is 80 degrees colder once you factor in the wind chill. So 80 degrees is what our body is adjusting to within just 12 hours.
But it is going to warm up rather significantly pretty quickly. Not right away, but fairly quickly as we get closer to the weekend, right?
Yes, it is. So first and foremost, make sure you stay warm and bundle up today. It's time for the layers only for today.
Brought back the sweater today for myself. I was like, I need to layer up. You're exactly right.
Me too. Got the sweater on. It's back to that. No more short sleeves today. But by tomorrow, you could probably do the 3/4 length sleeve. You can maybe throw the coat in the closet because we'll be pushing the low 40s. Then by Friday, maybe you could pull out the shorts. Low 50s. But yeah, into the weekend, 60s and potentially 70s. If you want to summer again, head south.
Yeah, I saw it. 60s on the weekend again, and 65 by Sunday. I mean, just amazing stuff. Brittany, again, oh, by the way, real fast before we wrap it up, I heard you say as well that you were keeping an eye last night on your home area for some of these tornadoes. Did they get any?
You know, thankfully, my exact town missed a lot of that just to the south. But at one point, there were 5 tornado warnings at the same time, all headed towards the Chicagoland suburbs. And thankfully, a lot of that stable air off the lake kind of killed those storms. But I was wide awake last night working all day.
I can imagine. And I guess finally, what are the specifics for the weather here today and tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. So high temperatures today are hitting 19 degrees. That's it. It's going to feel more like the single digits, so plan for that. Like Pat mentioned and remembered, right around lunch is when those winds are going to die down.
But there's no correlation.
No correlation. That's just the timing of it.
Exactly.
And more sunshine, of course, statewide around noon as well. So sunny skies through the rest of the week and into the weekend. And again, temperatures rising by about 10 degrees every single day. Into the 60s by Saturday, and system wants to hit Sunday, Monday, and potentially into Tuesday. Kind of doing the same thing, spike in temperatures and then some storms and snow behind it.
Brittany, thanks again for all the information. Try to get some rest today if you were, you know, watching those storms last night, but appreciate it, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, again. Right now, overcast and breezy in Wausau. 8 degrees is the temperature. Northwest winds 22 miles per hour, gusting as high as 31 miles per hour. So that wind chill factor is 12 below zero. The dew point is 2 below. Relative humidity of 63%. The barometer at 29.83 inches and a visibility of 9 miles. The time is 8:24. We're going to come back and we're going to delve into the news. And there's a gentleman who's a Wisconsin native who is not, I think, making Wisconsin proud. And he's got a Wisconsin name, Cheesebro. And we're going to talk about, and I'm going to talk about truth, because doggone it, I believe in truth. We're going to have an information update coming up. News, weather, sports, all coming up. And then back with Bob Look for another half hour here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34. Again, temperature at 8 degrees above zero. Wind chill factor of 12 below. High temperature only expected to reach 19, as we heard from Brittany Merlot just a few moments ago. Again, coming up in the second hour, we'll get a chance to catch up with Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. And don't forget as well tonight, I'll be back from 6 until 8 p.m. for the big high school sports show as we get closer and closer to the end of the winter sports season and our end of our big high school sports show season for another year. But lots of great stuff going on with the hockey state tournament coming up this week. The sectionals and girls basketball and the boys basketball playoffs got underway last night. Jeff Gress and myself will talk all about that, plus special guest Kincaid Keefe, the head girls basketball coach at Athens High School. They knocked off number one seeded Pacelli in a regional final on Saturday, advancing to the sectionals on Thursday. We'll talk to Kincaid Keefe at 6:20 tonight. And then at 7 o'clock, it's our student athlete guest for this week from Wausau West High School, outstanding football and basketball performer Brett Butala. And of course, the Warriors getting set for a playoff regional semifinal at Kakana on Friday night, which we will have for you live right here on Bow Falls Radio. But Bob Look joining us as he does every other Wednesday. And Bob, in terms of the news this week, and there's a story that came across that, again, goes back to the false elector scheme that was part here Wisconsin, Michigan, and a man named Kenneth Cheesebro. And of course, a guy named Cheesebro would be from Wisconsin. And he had talked to prosecutors in Michigan and Wisconsin and basically got a deal to find out what was going on. And CNN came out with a story this week that basically he was lying through his teeth. That he had said, no, I was not, we were just looking at options and that I had no, prior knowledge to any of these false electors, and apparently he had a phony Twitter account named
Twitter account.
Badger Pundit. So thank you, Cheese Bro for bringing Wisconsin back into it. But beyond the details of the story, and you can touch on that if you want as well, but the idea, and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, that it is so easy for these folks to lie. I mean, you go back to over the last decade and the whole Trump revolution, I would say, that it's built on a foundation of lies. Everything is a lie. And I don't know about yourself, and I think I'm guessing that yourself is similar because of your upbringing. You've talked about where you went to school, you know, back in Southeast Wisconsin, that we're not perfect and that we may, you know, tell a fib or two or a lie, but you feel bad about it. I get the sense none of these people ever feel bad about it and that they don't feel bad about the damage that a house built on lies brings to this country. And it really, I find it enraging, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, the first thing, there's such a big difference between a fib and a lie. A fib is basically something harmless and just to maybe augment something, you know.
But at the same time, even a fib, I would feel a little bit bad about it. You know, if you're not telling the whole truth, you feel bad.
And sometimes I use fibs to basically create a comedic situation where you... Right. But when you say, no, I didn't really do that, you know.
Right.
But there's a lot of people who have maybe gotten through life where they could just say something false, something that has no truth to it, and get away with it. And they feel that they can just continue to keep doing this. And even when you put them under oath, then they don't turn into an outward lie. They just turn in, I just don't recall that. Or I can't remember that.
And they think they're being really smart about it, too. And that really is enraging as well.
Anytime I get an answer like that, I pretty much chalk that up. I would say about 99.9% of the time is, okay, they're hiding something. I just can't recall. I just can't remember. It seems that you were able to remember your actions here, here, and here, and here. But now, all of a sudden, I can't remember who was involved with this, and the truth.
Can our system continue on a mountain of lies? To be honest, I mean, again, when you think big picture, when you think about democracy, and again, our civic media organization is not meant to be pro or anti anything in terms of political philosophy. It's a pro-democracy organization. And when you have this group, and I'll call it the mega group, that is basically okay with lying about everything. I mean, you go back to day number one of the Trump administration, they get out there and say they broke records for the inauguration when there was all this evidence, lies. And it's continued every single day since then. And we got millions and millions of people believing these lies. Can this system, as we come up in about 2 years, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, continue if we have millions of people believing lies?
Well, there's the thing where people believe in lies because they have convinced themselves that it's the truth. So you have to come up with that, theory. Is telling a lie that you believe in actually truth as far as they see it?
You sound like George Costanza here. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, that shows you how silly that whole, the way they phrase that. Yeah, it's not a lie if you believe it. Well, that's pretty much their slogan or how they, get their way through life. They had one of the late night comedians, I think it was maybe Comedy Central did that with their Daily Show, where they interviewed Trump supporters, but they basically substituted Trump for Biden.
It was actually Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel? Okay.
Yep. Jimmy the credit, but you're right. They said, here's what Joe Biden said in your response to it.
And it was a quote of Trump.
Oh, I'm sorry. My cards got mixed up. Donald Trump
said it. And then suddenly their whole thing turned,
they had excuses.
Really jamming it at President Biden's, that's why we can't have him in charge. And I was, wait a minute, I was Trump who said that. Well, I can understand where there would be a misunderstanding, and then I still believe in him. And I go,
You know, one of the interesting things I saw that clip as well is that normally if you would have had somebody say flipped it like that, there would be some sort of recognition in the face. These people, it was like they were robotic. And it was like it was the most natural thing in the world to completely do a turnaround on what you were just saying 5 seconds ago. Yeah, well, I mean, it was really amazing that my first thought was brainwashed completely.
That's when lies have no penalty. You get away with it. You can say it, and then you have people all nodding their head. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I believe it. Yeah, you're right on the money. Yeah, even though it's a bald-faced lie, if you can keep getting away with that without any kind of penalty, with any kind of jurisdiction or charges that are sticking, where you're paying the price for that, mm-hmm. It's slowly happening. Right now, it's very slowly happening. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are in the drive-through window kind of mentality. They want things done now. I want it done now. Right. Well, it ain't going to happen now because the justice just seems to work a little slower.
Well, and justice, along this same line, if somebody that does not have either social standing or monetary standing or political standing pulls what this cheese bro pulls, lies the prosecutors, they would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And the idea of equal justice under law is being tested in this country right now. Mm-hmm. Because you have Donald Trump constantly talking about himself being a martyr. If anybody else, and the thing that kind of, it does annoy me, is there are plenty of Trumps out there right now who don't run for political office, who are skimming the system. Trump is doing all this stuff for 50 years. Okay. And now they're finally starting to prosecute him for all these lies he's told in his financial empire. Again, when I talk about democracy and our system, we have to try to, again, strive for equal justice under law. And this is an example. This guy, if he was not a lawyer, politically have political friends in high places, we treat these people with such kid gloves, while the people that are at the lowest stratas of the social and economic ladder get prosecuted to the full extent of the law every single time. Fair.
Well, think of the way many times things are placed out there for public consumption, where the ex-president Trump said that, it's presidential immunity. And everyone goes, huh? What? And then he starts saying that's a matter of factly, that's been the law of the land forever and ever. Amen. And everyone's looking, I don't see anything about presidential. Yeah. But he just says it. And then there's people go, yeah, I guess that's the way it is. And then you start realizing if that is true, you're talking about people who would have a carte blanche of doing dishonest...
Murder your enemies.
Yeah, terrible things with immunity because of someone who just says, because I was president, I have presidential immunity.
And let's kind of turn to Wisconsin here for a few minutes. When you talk about this ultra love of status... The fact that the Republican Party of Wisconsin, you would think there'd be somebody in this state that they could run for the Senate that they wouldn't have to import from California. But just like Tim Michaels, they're bringing in this rich white guy to be their guy in the white horse, apparently. I don't get it, to be honest with you. It doesn't seem like good politics to me, number one, beyond everything else.
Well, I think the reason why they have trouble finding, a candidate to go up against the current Senator Baldwin is a couple of reasons. One, she's a very good candidate and been a very effective senator. I don't care what side of the aisle you are on, Democrat or Republican or independent, you cannot argue that she really, you call her office, you get a response back. You get somebody, and actually There's
and
communication.
Even if you're a Republican.
Correct.
That's, again, she takes the job seriously.
When I ran for state senator, and that was one of the one things that I emphasized when I ran, is that I am not going to be a state senator for just the Democrats or people who voted for me. I want to be a state senator for everybody within the, you know, whether you agree with me or we don't agree, I would rather hear you, your side of the story, and try to get the why this is important to you. And if you start maybe tripping the, you know what? I can see your side of the argument and see your side of the point. And, you know, in fact, I was talking with somebody the other day who says, when I ran for that office, that was probably the most educational part of my life, because I went into areas where I was not the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a 90-10 breakdown, 90% against and 10% who are supporting me.
And you can feel it, right?
Well, yeah, you can feel it, but I went there and I just, I like an open book, I says, here I am. I says, I'm going to be real honest with you. This is who I am. This is, you know, I am not an expert at everything, but I am willing to learn issues and concerns that you have, because that makes me a better representative for you if I go to Madison to represent you. And there was so many people who were like, oh, cool. He's not coming in here with instant answers like, oh, yeah, well, I say we get put another $50 million into this and $20 million. Right. No, let's discuss this. Let's see what works and what won't work.
Not just spouting off the normal liberal talking points.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of good ideas, but you have to be able to show that you're listening at the same time. And you're exactly right. More of that would be terrific. But I got one other point I want to kind of make about what Hovde said at his launch announcement. Because as a candidate, I think it's not a great way to start, because it comes across as a maybe not a totally true statement. So I want to bring that up, and then we'll touch a little bit on sports before we wrap up the hour with Bob Look. We'll be back in just over a minute here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. 8:51 is the time with Bob Look. One more note about Eric Hovde. When he made his announcement, he basically said everything is terrible. And you kind of chuckle at it, but it's like, yeah. Even as a you run for office, you can't make, and I say to people all the time, if you think that everything is terrible right now, wait till we really go through some difficult times. Because, again, things are never perfect. Yeah. But at the same time, there's still a lot that is good right now going on. When you hear candidates, and I imagine that you said it, you learned a lot running for office. When you see a guy like Eric Hovde, who has run before, say everything is terrible. I don't get that.
If everything is so terrible, why is there so much good news out there that it makes it awfully hard to is it perfect for everybody? No, nothing ever is.
But for people like Eric Hovde, it's darn good.
but I'll tell you this: I'd love to have my parents still alive here and just give us the details of what it was like during the Depression.
No kidding, huh?
And that's when you start realizing, oh, you think you got it bad now. Here, try this on for size. I mean, I saw a little remembrance thing on Facebook because it was 3 years ago was the final home game for the Badger hockey team. And that was playing those games in an empty arena at the LeBron Arena with cardboard cutouts for right. fans and piped in crowds. And here is the Wisconsin Badger hockey team, arm in arm, swaying, singing, you know, Varsity to nobody, except for a few parents here and there. Right. But, you know, I was a public address announcer inside a building with no public. You know, but they wanted to be as every, just like yeah. a regular deal. But that's how you you find a positive and draw off of it, even though it was a tough time.
And frankly, one reason why we had to wait so long to see a Republican jump in is because it's almost as though they've been waiting for things to slip a little bit.
Bad.
It's hard to run again. Like you said, number one, she does the job, Senator Baldwin. And number two, things are not terrible in every single way, like Eric Hovde would like you to think. So,
well, you know, Tammy Baldwin, anytime she's anywhere in the area near the station that I would be working mm-hmm. at, hey, you know, and she would, I said, okay, yeah, come on down.
Exactly.
It would be a tape interview or what have you. And she had communications. When was the last time you heard any kind of with Congressman Tom Tiffany? When you hear his voice, you wonder, who's that?
I know, huh?
And there's others who follow that same thing. The least said, the better, because it's great to be getting a paycheck while no one knows what the hell you're doing.
Truer word probably haven't been said the whole hour. Let's talk a little sports, because obviously you said you're the voice, the public address voice of the Wisconsin Badger hockey team. Pretty big series coming up this weekend,
huge.
Huh?
This is going to be fun.
It's been a long time since you had a series like this, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of where a championship is on the line.
Yeah, well, the championship for the Big Ten regular season is on the line. Michigan State is in first, and Wisconsin is second, and the Badgers are only 2 points behind them. And you get 3 points for a win. I've just explained to some people, 3 points for a win, 2 points for a win if you do it in overtime or via a shootout, and 1 point if you take it into overtime and lose in a shootout. And but the thing is, that's how the points are divvied up.
There's so 3 points available for every game, basically.
That's right.
Which is actually more fair than the NHL does,
right,
to be honest with you.
Yes, it is. It very much is. So what if the Badgers walk out there and they sweep Michigan State in regulation, it'd be 6 points. They'll win the Big Ten by 4 points. Everyone's happy. Well, here in Wisconsin. But, again, you could have a situation where the Badgers could win that game, but in overtime, and only get 2 points when Michigan gets one. So now you're only one behind. Now you got So there's a lot of drama coming up this weekend. And it's going to be a busy weekend in Madison. You've got the basketball team playing at noon on Saturday. The women's team is starting their playoffs also at the LeBron Arena. So Madison's going to be busy
and place. I will be there,
and you're going to be there too.
State hockey,
Yep.
So
too bad WIA just doesn't do a job promoting.
You talk about opening up a can of worms here. You're exactly right. I mean, it is so frustrating because it's such a great game.
It should be. You shouldn't be in a small barn for a state championship. How many state championships for high school things are done that way? I mean, even girls softball, they go to Madison to that beautiful facility.
I've been there, and that is fantastic.
And the wrestling, they're at the
out
there. Yep. And it's not the major sports, but it gets major attention. The WIAA should have their state hockey tournament in a large building. They can't do it in Milwaukee. They could at the Panther Arena. It used to be the old Mecca,
and they made that a hockey arena too. That's the cool thing about it.
Hockey games in the 80s,
but
you know,
that the renovations were
hockey focused,
and that's good seating for hockey.
And they pay well. It's such a distance to drive. Oh, come on! It's the year 2024,
and the bottom line is, it's for the kids.
It's the kids.
They don't care.
It's something special.
They want it. Yes. So you think they're going? Oh, it's too far to go. If they get the full state experience, give me a break.
And again, the state baseball, they go out to the beautiful ballpark in Appleton or whatever.
Fox City Stadium.
Yeah, Fox City
Grand Chutes.
Grand Chutes. That's right. And I've been to that ballpark. It's just beautiful. Oh. And plenty of size. And
even the press boxes are nice and big.
Correct. I mean, that is what should be the payoff if you're going into the state tournament.
Exactly.
Nothing against the Bob Suter rink out there, but it is like Marathon Park.
It is a place where high school hockey is played during the regular season.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's like,
you know, the Madison Capitals use that as their home, which is fine.
But
it's just
but there's also high schools that play there.
The Wausau Cyclones here at Marathon Park, that's the perfect size, you know, for that field. But for a state championship, there should be Resch Center in Green Bay. Well, you know, I'm just throwing it out right to WIAA.
And the thing is, and again, just I know that Wausau West coach BJ Branch, the president of the Coaches Association, they have. Again, it's easier because these other venues also have events.
Oh, yes, so I understand that.
But also the WIAA has to be, I think, a little more proactive in terms of building the event. And that's, you know, because sometimes it feels like, well, we're almost like, well, let's get it over with. And that's not the way it should be felt in any of these events. So, Bob, it was great to have you back. Missed you 2 weeks ago, so it's always great to...
Well, it's nice that I can see out of my eyes, you know, clearly again. And
it's not one of those people trying to sell you some drugs.
Get off my phone.
But, Bob, hey, have fun at the Cole this weekend. Go Bucky.
Yep.
And, again, thanks for coming on by.
You bet. We'll be back, I guess, in a couple weeks.
There you go. Bob, look, coming up, information update, news, weather, and sports. And then coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking to Sean Wright. Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, Performing Arts Foundation, Executive Director. Sun is peeking out. Still chilly, but at least a little bit of sun. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.